And now we're going to look at the gospel. It's the feast of the exaltation of the cross. And so people are praying and looking for where is a text that can open up for us that this, what can I say? There's the mystery, see it? And open up the door so you can come in and dwell in the mystery. So the text that they pick, it's a great text, is in John 3, 13 to 17. Now the first part of that text is Nicodemus. And so, like, we start with verse 11 of this, the 3:13 to 17. But, amen, amen, I say to you, you don't believe. And if I say to you, speak to you about, you know, every earthly things, things that take place on earth, you don't believe me. How can I talk to you about the things in heaven? You don't believe him, and no one has gone up to heaven except the one who's come down from heaven, that is the Son of Man. And he gives himself the most humble title, humble sounding title that there is. And then he starts, and it's when this text starts this way. So no one has gone up into heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man. Son of Man. You see, it's a perfect title. It comes from Daniel 7, and I'm sure you've heard many explanations of this. That's the vision where he sees this one like a Son of Man come to the throne, where the Ancient of Days is, and receive for him power, kingdom, majesty, and so forth. Son of Man becomes now with great honor. Nobody could guess that the Son of Man, the Son of Man, Jesus, deserves divine honor. And that's what this text is all about, you see. And so it says here, you see, English down. All right. No one has gone up into heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man. See, he doesn't say, me. He says, the Son of Man. I am the fruit of mankind. I am the child of man. I am, but I'm also this mysterious figure in Daniel 7. One like a Son of Man who comes and receives power and glory and honor from the Ancient of Days. He's both. And so, it says there, you see, so no one has gone up there except me. And just as Moses, Ipsosen, lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, raised up. Raised up is good, yes. So that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life. Now you see, gazing on the effect of our sin. That's what the Jews were doing, right? They were looking at this serpent. It was the serpent that was killing them. And that was the punishment for their sin. And now, it's not the image, it's the reality. The one in whom all the effects of sin abide. Hanging on a cross, the Son of Man, Jesus himself. You see, and that's this feast of the Holy Cross, this blessed cross. All the hymns in honor of the cross in this day, the old Latin hymns were so Ave Crux, you know, unica, unique cross. You see, so that hope, everyone believing in him could have eternal life. And then this line, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that all believing in him would not perish or may not perish, but have eternal life. Now just think of this. Here we are, a little flesh and blood, you know, born of the union of a man and a woman, carried in a woman's womb for 9 months, then born out, and here we are, flesh and blood, going to live 60, 70 years, and we're messed up to the max. And we've inherited this unmitigated drive away from God. And God comes to save us. And that's what's being said here, you see. So, the effect of Israel's sin, you see, is this bronze, harming serpent. But the effect of all man's sin is not to put a serpent up there, but to put a human being up there. But he's not just a human being. He is the eternal, glorious, infinite Son of God. And everyone who looks on him will be healed, be saved, will have eternal life. So it's so important to know what that means, to look on him. How do we do that? Well, I was just trying to show you. I don't know where I put my cross now. You look at the cross, and you ask the Holy Spirit, make sense of this for me, please. I don't understand how Jesus is God, born of Mary, a poor man in a town so lousy that there wasn't even a road to it, who preached and healed for 3 years, and then was nailed to a cross like a Roman criminal. And yet, if you look deep, and that's what that whole text was, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore God exalted him. And now we're having this next part, you see. God, whoever believes in him, you see, just as Moses lifted up the serpent, and anyone who gazed on that was healed, looking at the effect of his own sin. He sinned, the serpent bit him. Now look at the effects of your sin and you be healed. What's the effects of my sin? The cross. Not that I, you know, get 10 years in jail, but the living, eternal, infinite, almighty Son of God made man, he pays the price. You know, and as St. Thomas says, does his cross make satisfaction? He says, yes. You see, you have to understand that satisfaction means that you give back to the person you've offended, you give back something of equal or greater worth than that which you took. Well, you took honor from God the Father, and there's no way you can give it back. But Jesus Christ, so great, and this is Aquinas now, it's not just the dignity of his life, his being, is because of the greatness of his love, giving him his whole self to God the Father in such an act of love that the whole world is saved. It's love. And that's what this text is saying. And Aquinas says, you know, that's the very words, you know, of Aquinas, or the greatness of his love. Okay. So that everyone believe in him might have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave. You know, if I have, oh, what a book. And I say, here, you can have it. I give you the book. Now, God, the Father, took his son and said, here, I give him to you. But I give him to you fixed in his humanity, in an act of love that is infinite in value, infinite in endurance, infinite in extent. The act of love in which he died, I give to you. I give to you. See? So that all believing in him, you see, may not perish, but have eternal life. For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, to judge the world. He could have. said, go down there and tell them what they've done and what their punishment's going to be. That's not what he did. You see, that he might condemn the world, but rather that the world would be saved through him. And that's what we celebrate on this feast. When they found the cross again, if they really did, or if they didn't, who cares? I mean, you do care, but I mean, it's too much historical reminiscence to have it all made up. They found the cross. That's the place where we were saved from eternal damnation. How? Yes, the pain. But the pain only brought forth that act of love, which is so great, that one act of love gives back the glory to God. You see, that all our sins could do. John of the Cross, talking about transforming union, which is an ultimate mystical state, it's heaven. And some people are lucky enough to start on earth. They're not only lucky, they let God do what he wants to do with them. And they go, and John of the Cross says, and so just one act of love by someone who's been so transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, this one act of love, you see, gives more glory to God and does more good for the church than all the active works put together. That's important, isn't it? And so when we're busy and say, well, I just don't have time to pray and get to know God and love him, you're nuts. I'll do it. That's wrong. Let God have his way. Let God have his time. Learn to love God the Father. You will build up the church. You will build up your family more that way than any other way. And that's what I'm quoting John of the Cross. You see? And so the text goes on in verse 17 to say, you see, God didn't send his son to judge the world, but that the world be saved from him. The one who's believing in him is not judged or condemned. But the one doesn't believe, he's already condemned. What does that mean? It means that God is saying to us, look, here is eternal life. Here. If you don't take it, you don't have it. It's not that God says, I'm going to offer it now. You didn't take it, hell. No. It's here, and we don't take it. We don't say, thank you for salvation. And so you work your own condemnation by refusing it. We're nuts. But you see, if death, heaven, hell, freedom, salvation, cross, if these are just words we hear in church, you don't get it. But when, and the Lord so loves to do this, he opens up his heart and says, see how much I love you. I died for you. I love you. I want to give you eternal life. That's when we have a conversion. And so, and this is the judgment, just what I said, but of course the inspired words are better. Light came into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their works were dark or evil. I don't want to come to the light if I'm full of sin. But if once I know God's love for me, I'm happy to go kneel at his feet, receive his forgiveness, and tell the world about it. That's the exaltation of the cross. Amen.